Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
Now I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I've been preaching after our summer series on the book of Matthew chapters 5 through 7. As we studied in our summer series, we got all the way to the first part of chapter 7, but yet there are so many lessons left in the latter part of chapter 7 that really deserve our attention. In verses 13 and 14, really need to be preached upon. I remember the very first sermon that I preached upon this passage. I was a senior in high school. And I was being asked to speak on a fairly periodic basis at the congregation where I grew up. And I was trying to find sermon topics. And in my English class, a senior English class, we were studying poetry at that time. And I came across a poem by Robert Frost called Two Roads. Two roads diverged into a yellow wood, and I travel the road less traveled by. Or I went the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And I remember thinking, I think Jesus said something similar to that. And that became a sermon. That's not the sermon I'm going to preach tonight. I dare say that sermon probably only lasted about 10 minutes. But I remember thinking the points that Robert Frost made. I took the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Many times my mother and father would go on a vacation, and when they did, they would not get on the interstates. They would drive the back roads, and they would drive what Daddy would call the scenic route. And the reason why is, he said, there's so much there to see that if you get on the interstate, you can't see all of these great sights. And I think Robert Frost was trying to say that those who just are going through in a mindless way on life, that they're going to miss some of the great things that are there. I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about now. I think Jesus was talking about where it's going to end. And so tonight I want to talk about three things that are in these two verses. He's going to talk about two gates or two entrances. He's going to talk about two ways, two highways, if you will. And then he's going to talk about two destinations where man will arrive. So let's begin, first of all, as we start and notice the first two entrances or the two gates. And Jesus begins by saying, enter in or enter by the narrow gate. And if you're reading the King James or the American Standard, you'll notice that word straight there. What does it mean to say that it's a straight gate? Now, I remember the first time I thought about this. The word straight in my mind denotes the idea of no curves. But that's the word that has an H in it. This word straight means difficult. It means hard to find. It's the idea of being very narrow, and that's the reason why the New King James translates it as narrow. Let me give you some idea of where this word appears in some other places in the Bible. And I'm going to use the American Standard reading, primarily because that's where I began some of this. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1, a very interesting passage is found there. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell is too straight for us. And if you go to the New King James, it's too small. The idea of where we live is not big enough. So when you think about entering the straight or the narrow gate, it's not very big. Or if you go a little further in the Bible to Job chapter 36, verse 16, he said, even so, we would have removed thee out of the straight into a broad place where there is no straightness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. He said, we don't want to be in a restricted place. We don't want to be in a narrow place. We want to be out in a big place. And as I thought about this, I thought about our fellowship room. When we have a big fellowship down there, you get in there and you try to get around the tables, and it's too narrow, especially those of us who have big, heavy plates and are a big size, and we're trying to get through. It's too straightened. It's too narrow. You can't get through there. Or Philippians 1 and verse 23. Paul said, I am a strait betwixt the two, having the desire to depart with Christ and be with Christ, which is far better. I want to make a choice, and it's difficult. We would say I'm between a rock and a hard place. I can't make up my mind, and it's difficult for me to do so. When you think about the entrances that he's describing here, on the one hand, there's one that we call straight or narrow. And on the other side, there's one that's wide and it's broad, and it's very easy to go in it. Now, there's got to be an application to this. When it comes to a narrow or a straight gate, it's easy to miss that. A person has to be looking for it. How many of you have ever been traveling down the road and you're looking for a particular highway or a particular road, and when you get to where you think it should be, you keep on going and you miss it? And the reason why you miss it is because the road is very narrow. It's not big. And it's very difficult to see it and to find it. I think it's interesting in this same context of Matthew 7. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The idea of a person looking for it, it's not just going to be immediately apparent. You've got to find it. As you go further, you think about a narrow place to enter, and a person who's going to try to enter some place that's narrow has got to be able to take off some of the encumbrances. If you go to the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, the entrance into that building is very unique. The lintel over the door is about this high, maybe a little lower than that. And for you to go into that building, you have to bow down and squat almost to be able to get in there. And if you were carrying a backpack or something heavy or some load, you wouldn't be able to enter. You would have to be able to have some sort of taking something off to be able to get in. And a narrow entrance means that you just can't carry everything in. Too many people find it difficult to enter because of the things that they have as an encumbrance point. I think about such passages in this context, Matthew 7 and verse 21, when Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of my Father, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. It's not just saying, hey, I want to go in. No, you've got to make an effort to go in. Matthew 18 and verse 3, the point I was making about taking stuff off. Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you become as little children, you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. A person's got to be like a little child. He's got to be willing to humble himself. And then Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verses 24, he said to them, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? We've got to take off the things that would cause us to not be able to enter. But now what about that wide entrance? There's a very wide section, and there's a lot of people that's going to enter in there at. And it may be like, I can compare this to the entering of a highway, the entrance to it. And I can tell you that there's been a couple of times when we've had to travel to Dallas, Texas to visit Coretta's family. And when you drive around on the northern side of Dallas, there are big major sections that go off one direction or another. And if you're not paying attention, the next thing you know, instead of you're going toward the direction you want to go, you're going the wrong direction. And the reason why is because there's cars on this side of you and cars on that side of you, and everybody's going in that direction, and without paying attention, the next thing you know, instead of going toward Plano, Texas, you're going toward Fort Worth, Texas. And you know there's a lot of people who are entering life that way. They look at their neighbor to their right or left, and to your right, and then their other neighbor to the other direction, and they'd say, well, everybody's doing this. Everybody's going that direction. and they don't think anything by it. So we have to understand here that as we start thinking about these two entrances, that they represent people who are looking and trying to find the right way to go. Now that brings me to the second part of the lesson, and that is the two ways, the two highways. Now, problem is many times when it comes to us, we think we're on the right way when we may not be. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, Solomon says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who hearkens to counsel is wise." We may think we're doing the right thing. We may believe we're on the right road. But you know what? Unless we're very careful, we'll be on the wrong road. But he who hearkens to counsel is wise. We would be wise to listen to what others might be able to say and make sure to whom we're listening. Sometimes our wives may say, "Are you sure we're going in the right direction?" "Sure." "Why don't we stop and ask?" "No, we're not going to do that." He who hearkens to counsel is wise. It's important to see if we're on the right road, we're going in the right direction. And the Bible here speaks of this narrow entrance, straight way, and then it speaks of a difficult or narrow way. The way which God has set forth is a specific kind of way. For instance, in Isaiah 35 and verse 8, Isaiah prophesies, "A highway shall be there, and it shall be a highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others who walk on that road. Although a fool, he shall not go astray." If you get on the right road, even though you may not be the brightest person in the world, if you get on the right road that's going to heaven, the highway of holiness, you're going to be all right. Proverbs 16, verse 17 says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul." You see, those who are on this way, I know it's narrow. I know it's difficult. But you see, the people who are on this road have made it their choice. "I'm not going to do evil. I'm going to do what is right." Proverbs 13, verse 6. "Righteousness guards the way of those who are blameless, but the wickedness overthrows a sinner." There are so many verses which talk about the way, the way, the way. And Jesus made sure that we understood how exclusive it was. John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father except or but by me." It's got to be this way. It can't be any other way. Now, you understand that the world we live in today says this: you follow God your way, I'll follow God my way. We'll all agree that we're going to end up in the same place, going on different roads. And now, folks, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. In fact, to the children of Israel, Moses, when he was summing up the book of Deuteronomy, said in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he says, "Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." There are detours all through this where man is, the devil's trying to get us off of the right way. And God's message is you don't turn off to the right, you don't become too radical on this side, and you don't turn off to the left, and you don't become too liberal over here. You go the way God has given you to go. Will everybody like that? No. A lot of people will say, "I don't want to go on a narrow, difficult road, because that road's not easy for me to walk on. There's all kinds of hindrances there. There's all kinds of things that I have to do. I want to be on the superhighway." And many people are on the superhighway of life. And there's no encumbrances there. You can be mindless while you're on that road because you got people on your right, people on your left, and you're just going along and you don't have to think. You don't have to work. Let me tell you, there are people who have been on the narrow road, who've gotten off of that and get on the wide way. Peter tells us in 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 2, 21, "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to depart from the holy commandment delivered to them." You see, those people who know the right way and they get off of it know better, but they've gotten off. Or as 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 speaks about a man by the name of Balaam, he says, "They have forsaken the right way, they have gone astray and followed the error of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." You see, the broad way is encompassing all the views of men, all the way people want to go. And it is a way that will allow you to do whatever you want to do. There's plenty of room for it. But now, the third part of this, the destination. Why do you enter a highway to start with? Why do you go along a certain highway? It's because you want to get to a certain destination. For instance, if you're wanting to go to Nashville, there may be more than one way to get to Nashville from here, but you get on I-24 to go to Nashville. That's your purpose. Why do you enter this narrow or straight gate? Why do you travel along a narrow or difficult way? It's because where that road leads. There are some places that the only way you can get there is to go on a specific road. Let me point out to you that Jesus talks about this narrow way, and He says it leads to life. And He says there are few who find it. He said there's this broad way that leads to destruction, and many are traveling or entering thereat. Folks, I want you to understand that the difference is where you're going to finally end your destination. Regardless of what people say, there are reality only two roads. And you're on one of those two roads. And some people may feel that they are okay. They're fine traveling their pathway. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." It may seem like a good pathway to go. Now let me ask you, what kind of life might that be? Well, it could be a person who's religious. Matthew 7:21, we've already made reference to that. Or as James would say, "If any man among you thinks himself to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, this man deceives himself, and his religion is vain." It's useless. There are some people who look at their lives like the Pharisees did, and they're on the wrong road, they're on the wrong path, and they're going in the wrong direction, but they think they're right. Well, how can I be sure that I'm going on the right road to end up at the right destination? How do you do that? One of the things you do, you pick up a map and you say, "Okay, I've not been this way before. And I'm going to have to turn here, and I'm going to have to get on this road, and I'm going to have to go to that destination." Well, we have a map right here. It's a word map. And it tells us about life. It tells us about where life will end. For instance, Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. "These shall go away into everlasting life, but the wicked are going to go into everlasting punishment." You see, you have to see, and in that case, he's talking about helping those who are in need and about caring for those who are having difficulties in life, visiting those who are sick and in prison. And they're going to ask the question, "Well, Lord, when do we see you in those conditions?" He said, "Inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me." You see, the destination we're going to end is got. We've got to make sure that we're going in the right direction to end in the right place. Proverbs 12:28 says, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway there is no death." I want to make sure that the pathway that I'm on leads to the right place. Now, Paul, when he wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, made a statement that I read quite frequently. I'm going to tell you, I read the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus quite often because they were written to preachers. And I want to make sure that we're going to do the right thing, we're going to preach the right thing. And as I listen to Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, "For I am already being poured out, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day, but not to me only, but to all those who have loved His appearing." He says, what I want to do, I want to get on the road, and I want to make sure that when it ends at the place where the Lord's going to give me the crown. And he says, I have run that race. I have finished that course. I am at the end, and I know that the Lord's going to give me that crown. I want to make sure I'm on that road where it ends. But now, what about the other one? What if I end up in the wrong place? There's no turning back. The end of my journey, when my life is over, if I end up at the wrong place, then folks, there's no changing it. If I, like the rich man, have decided I want to live my life, do what I want to do, say what I want to say, go where I want to go, and then when life is over, I lift up my eyes in torments like him, there's no changing that. I talked to two different folks this week whose children have gone astray. Parents who are grieving because of the pathway that their sons and their daughters are on. And I know that our young people, for the most part, are gone from here tonight, and most of us are a little bit older than that. Do you realize that we're on pathways of life that are going to lead somewhere? And I'd like to know where yours is at. Where do you believe you are on the pathway of life? Do you think you're, if you keep living the way you're living, you keep going the way you're going, that you're going to get to go to heaven, and that's where it's going to lead? Or do you look at your life and say, you know what? I really don't think I'm going the right way. Well, the thing for you to do is to correct that now. If you're making your journey to a particular location and you realize you're on the wrong road, what do you do? Say, I'll drive it another 100 miles or so, then I'll see if I can turn around. No, you're not going to do that. If you look at your life and you say, I'm not on the right road, then folks, now's the time to change it. Now is the time to change it. We have those in our audience who've not yet become Christians. The Lord loves you so much. He loved you so much He gave Jesus to die for you. The Lord loved you so much that He sent His Word through the apostles and prophets to try to provide you the direction, the guidance. God loved you so much to provide people to encourage you. There are people here tonight who are going to sing, and it's going to be a song of encouragement. God loves you so much that He's given you this time. No promise of a tomorrow. He's given you this time. Don't disappoint the Lord by burning His invitation. If you're a child of God and you have chosen the wrong pathway, Peter would say that if you've done that, the last state is worse than the beginning because you know better. You look at your life now and you realize, I know better and I need to make the change. this song is to encourage you as well.